but it's God's anointing. That's what we're all about at Beacon of Hope. This is Living the Good Life, and we are live in the radio station in Clearwater, Florida right now, as we always are, Sundays at 4 o'clock, and Tampa time, of course, and it's wonderful to be with you. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. Beside me is my right-hand, wonderful associate pastor, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, and it is always a joy to be with you. There it is. Duh. It's coming down from the sky. There comes a microphone, Pastor Jim.
That's much better.
Isn't that better to have a mic in front of you instead of have to look up there? Oh, my. What a great day. We're so glad to be here in the station. You and I get so excited about being on the air, don't we?
I love being on the radio.
I mean, it's a highlight. It's just a highlight of our week, and we love it. We love it. We enjoy it. And we are so glad you've joined us today. You have plenty of time. This is a two-hour live show. Time to call somebody and say, hey, why don't you join us today on Living the Good Life and listen in. It's fun, and it's also so rewarding because we are giving out words of life, Pastor Jim. Mm-hmm. It is all about, you know, there's a verse in Psalms that says, thy word has revived me and given me life. And there are so many times in our lives that we feel like we need some reviving, you know? Revive us again. Remember that old hymn, Revive Us Again? You know, I mean, that's an old one. And we need that. We need that reviving that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives, to our hearts, to our physical bodies, to our circumstances. We need to be revived. And that is what's going to happen today. On this show, we know it, you know it, and I know it.
Exactly.
Did we have church this morning at Beacon of Hope?
Oh, my, but we had church.
Always fun, isn't it, to be in the house of the Lord? And we welcome you, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, to join us on Sunday mornings. We are at 10 o'clock now. Our services used to be at 11, but it's at 10. 10 o'clock on Sunday mornings at 3700 Almerton Road. And we are in, I forget the name of the plaza, but it's the Five Guys Plaza, and we're right there at the back. We know that because we like their hamburgers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So anyway, and we're right there on the end and right behind Burger King at 3700 Almerton Road and 10 o'clock Sunday mornings. Wednesday night, tell us what happens on Wednesday night, Pastor Jim. It's a wild night around Beacon every week, isn't it?
It's a wonderful night. Mm-hmm. Wednesday nights. We have a prayer meeting starting about 6:15. We read from Prayers That Avail Much, which is, I would recommend to everybody to get that.
Yes.
It's a book of prayers that are purely scriptural prayers. They're taken right from the Word of God. They're arranged, not exactly topically, but each, you know, there's prayers for individuals, prayers for groups, prayers for others. So we pray those prayers, and we also take prayer requests and praise reports.
Boy, you have a notebook full of all that, don't you?
I have a notebook full of those.
You do.
Prayer requests on one side, praise reports on the other, and it's always exciting.
Isn't it exciting? Oh, my gosh.
When we get an answer to prayer that I can put in, it's like moving it from one column to another. It's like, here it was, a prayer request, and it moves over to a praise report.
Yes.
And that's always exciting. And then at 7 o'clock, we have Bible study.
Yes.
And we're currently doing a series called, and I wish Madeline was here to say it.
Because she does it so well, doesn't she?
Say what? And, you know, Bible study is very interactive.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, we kind of lay out a theme. We discuss it. It's just a really, really good time.
And this series, Say What, is all about, what are you saying, God, to me? Hearing from God, hearing correctly, hearing accurately. And when I do hear the voice of God, what does that do in my life? Mm-hmm. What action steps do I need to take to fulfill what the voice of God is saying to me? Mm-hmm. And I think, Pastor Jim, a lot of people go through life and they think, well, the pastor hears from God, or the elders hear from God, or the missionaries hear from God, but they don't understand that God wants to speak to every single one of us, not just the leaders in a church.
Right. Well, that was one of the big things about during the Protestant Reformation, was that God just didn't speak to the hierarchy, the hierarchy of the church. He speaks to everybody.
That's a good point.
But sometimes not all of us, either we don't listen or we don't know how to listen. And that's what this Bible study is about, is to help us to listen to know the voice of God.
Absolutely.
And then the tough part is being obedient, you know, like I shared with you what God had shown me this morning.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful rhema word from God for me, but
right.
there is that part that now I'm responsible for doing.
And that's that second part of it, that when mm-hmm. God speaks to us, we hear his voice, and then carrying that out.
Right.
And we're going to talk about that today as we talk in Ephesians and Psalms. We are so glad to have our wonderful engineer.
My computer,
back.
My computer one's working, so I don't have applause ready.
Oh, you don't? You don't have applause ready?
The devil's working on this
All
computer
right.
in here.
Well, Engineer Bill is back with us after a couple weeks off for back surgery. So I'll give you an applause here with my bell.
Thank you for that yes. bell, and thank you for praying
right.
for me.
We prayed for you, and we're so glad you're back. We're so glad that you had the surgery.
Yeah.
That was a request, prayer request. We've been praying for you for quite a while, that you needed it, and for God to work out the surgery, and it was done and accomplished, and you are getting better already.
And I will say that if there is anything that you need prayed about, living the good life can surely do it.
That's exactly right. I mean, seriously, our prayer ministry is, we take it very seriously.
It's just not living the good life. It's any type of church that
right.
you may go to.
Sure. And getting the prayer support that you need. Exactly. We take that very seriously. So actually, we have internet up right here in front of us, and you can write us during the show today with any questions or comments, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. So let's listen to this first song. It's brand new by 10th Avenue North, Strong Enough to Save.
You fought, but you were just too weak. So you lost all the things you tried to keep. Now you're on your knees. You're on your knees. But wait, yeah, everything can change. Time, you don't have to be afraid, 'cause fear is just a lie. Open up your eyes, and he'll break open the sky. Now is not too late. Lift up your head. Let the rain fall on your face. You're not far from grace. You're not too far from grace. And he'll break open the sky.
Great song. All
yeah,
right.
That, I love
that's
that song.
A good
song,
song by 10th Avenue North. You said you'd heard it on Joy FM.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We're going to the book of Ephesians. We are in a series right now. We encourage each of you to read the book of Ephesians with us. I need to remember to say that again Wednesday night. I never got it said today. But we're reading the book of Ephesians. It's only 6 chapters long. You know, Pastor Jim, I think a lot of times people don't read the word on their own because they feel like maybe they won't understand it or it's too complicated and they just go and hear it at church or whatever. Don't you think that's a problem with a lot of people?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
You gave a Connie answer.
I sound like Connie. Yeah, I do. And I think sometimes people are afraid, for whatever reason, they're afraid of the board. They're afraid of the Bible.
Right.
But you can't grow without it. And it's, I always think back to the Israelites in the wilderness. God gave them manna.
Right.
Every day.
Every day.
And it was only good for that day. And manna is a type of the word.
Right.
And you have to eat it. You have to partake of it every day because it is our strength. You mentioned earlier, your word revives me. Your word gives me life.
Well, yes.
You know, Jesus is the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, but he is the eternal word.
Exactly.
And in him was life, and that life was the light of all people.
Right.
Well, that's why there's life in the Bible, in the written word of God, but we have to... You have to eat it.
You have to eat it.
In order to gain any nourishment from it, which means you have to read it and meditate on it.
Absolutely.
And it is a daily thing. And I would just encourage everybody, don't be afraid.
Yes.
You know, and this is kind of an answered prayer, and I know I'm digressing a bit.
No, that's fine. You may digress all you want.
But remember last year, it was early on in the year, in 2011, and one of my prayer requests was, you know, I've been a Christian now, I've been saved for...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're
going to
talk about. Yeah. This is good.
Yeah. It's going to be, 39 years this year, this October. So it's been 38, been 37 when I was talking about this. But I'd read the Bible consistently all those years. I mean, there were a few times, you know, when I didn't. But, you know, God kept drawing me back. So I've read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible.
You did one of the read the Bible in a year type plans. I used to do that, too.
For many years, I've done the read the, you know, reading it in a year
plan. It's a good idea.
And that, for me, not that the Bible was getting stale, but that particular way of reading the Bible, for me, was getting stale.
Now,
some people, I encourage you, get a read the Bible in a year plan and stick to it because... That has helped me for so many years.
Right.
But I was getting a hunger in my heart just to take smaller portions of the word and really...
Instead of trying to do so much. Many people just say, I'm going to read the Bible, and they start in Genesis, and they get bogged down, you know? But go ahead.
Right. Well, and, you know, what I did, I thought, well, I'm just going to read smaller portions, so... the Lord led me to buy a prayer devotional, which has little short scripture readings, no more than a chapter, for each day. And then, I was using the American Bible Society reading guide, which was no more than a chapter a day. And then I might toss in a chapter or two on my own of just my own reading. So it was much less than I normally read.
Right.
And I've learned so much because I don't have to, you know, it's a tight schedule for me in the morning, so I don't have to rush through the word. That was part of it. I felt like I was always rushing.
Right.
This way, I'm much freer because I have the two short ones that I read. If I have time, then I'm trying to read through Ezekiel. So, you know, and I'll read maybe a chapter or two in there depending on time, but I'm not pushing myself.
There you go.
And I've just, you know, that was an answered prayer because I am learning, and I shared with you this morning, I learned something, scriptures that I've read now probably 30 times or more from Romans chapter 4. God plopped that down into my heart, personalized it for me.
Amen.
In some situations in my life.
Right.
And then, beginning of church, we were singing. During the praise and worship, God followed that up with a second witness out of Isaiah chapter 66. And it's like, wow.
Yes.
You know, but I praise God, you know, whatever works for you, if using a reading the Bible in a year plan works, then by all means do it.
Right.
if taking shorter pieces of scripture, if for me, I like the structure of at least, you know, each day, this is what will be read.
Right.
Even though both the devotionals I'm using skip around all over the place, but it's something, it's a set section of scripture that I'll be reading.
Exactly.
And I like that. It's not just that I'm just like flipping my Bible open because, you know, that can be dangerous.
Right.
But that's whatever works. I would encourage people because this is life.
Amen.
You know, the word is living, the word is alive, and the word gives life. And you can't obtain or partake of that life unless you get into the word. I mean, God instructed Joshua to meditate.
Absolutely. Joshua chapter 1.
And all Joshua had were the first five books of the Bible to meditate
on. That's all he had.
But he did it, and God's promise is, you do this, you will succeed. You'll prosper.
Amen. It's so true.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, you know, I'm talking a lot this year about God's intentionality, that he intentionally says things to us.
Mm-hmm.
He intentionally is leading us in different areas in our lives. He is very intentional, and he expects us to become more intentional. We talked about that last week a little bit on the show with Connie and Madeline. And intentionally this month, we are reading the book of Ephesians. Okay. There's only six chapters in it. It's not that huge and big yet. Everybody could read it multiple times because it's only six chapters. But the point is to mark up your Bible. And I encourage people, mark up your Bible. Look at yours. Look at mine.
You probably can't see this, but
it's all marked up.
It's all marked up.
One of your 114 Bibles.
Right, right.
And we're in Ephesians. So if you have your Bible, it's in the New Testament. Go back there. Let's go to Ephesians. And Pastor Jim has what translation today?
I brought the Emphasized.
Okay. It's a new one?
It's newer. It's, I believe, based on the one of the, I'd almost say looser translations, but
okay.
It's more, the main basis is more along somewhere between NIV and probably the Message, somewhere
okay.
in there.
In between.
But it has the literal meanings and the traditional wording.
Okay.
And
that's great.
Commentary right in the text.
Oh, that's good. All right.
Yeah, so,
well, I've got the Message and the NIV here, but let's look at the Message of Ephesians 1:11. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us. So, dear one, God has his eyes on you. He's watching you. He's watching you. He had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Verse 13 of Ephesians 1. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, this message of your salvation, found yourselves home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This signet from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. That's verses 11 through 14 of Ephesians 1. Do you want to read them in your translation and then comment
mm-hmm.
on this? Oh, that's good stuff right there.
In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people. We have received, we're given our part of an inheritance, because from the very beginning, God had decided this, having been predestined in keeping with his plan. And he is the one who makes everything agree with what he decides and wants.
Mm-hmm.
We are the first people who hoped in the Messiah,
ooh.
And we were chosen so that we could bring praise to God's glory.
Amen.
So it is with you. When you heard the true teaching, the message, the word of truth, the good news about the gospel of your salvation, you believed in Christ.
Amen.
And in Christ, God put his special mark of ownership on you by being sealed with the Holy Spirit that he had promised. That Holy Spirit is the guarantee, the down payment, the deposit that we will receive what God promised for his people.
Amen.
Until God gives full freedom to those who are his, until we acquire possession of it to bring praise to God's glory.
Wow, that's good stuff. That tells us the intentionality of God, Pastor Jim. It tells us that God intentionally set all this thing in motion by sending his son Jesus, and that his plan for us is that we understand what the riches are in it that God has for us. And I think people walk around all the time just totally ignorant of what God has for them.
And
unaware.
Oh, yeah. And I know you touched on this last week. But
go ahead.
Everything above that, too.
Yes.
In Ephesians.
Oh, if you, I love that.
One of the, and I use little symbols to mark, and then I underline if it's repeated the second, like certain words.
Right.
If they're repeated, then in a paragraph, then I underline them. So I use IH for in him.
In
anything
him.
That refers to in him, in Christ, in Jesus.
Yes.
In whom, you
right.
know, however that's phrased. So I have all these underlinings here, and just go through that. Ephesians, especially Ephesians chapter 1, it's just jammed with scriptures about who we are in Christ, what
Amen.
We have in Christ.
Yes.
In fact, in this,
go ahead.
In Christ, we were chosen to be God's people.
Yes.
In Christ, that
Amen.
Means we're in Christ.
Right.
We're united with Jesus.
Right.
When God looks
we're
at Jesus.
We're a team. We're a team.
And when God looks at Jesus, he also sees us.
Yes.
Because we are in,
right.
we are in Christ. I kind of look at it as, and I don't want to sound blasphemous or sacrilegious, but it's like Jesus is this big, empty Jesus sculpture thing.
Right.
And we're
yeah.
all inside.
Inside
we are
him.
In Christ.
Him. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's talking about there. We are incorporated into union with Jesus. And because of that, we have all these promises here.
Yes.
In Christ, we're chosen.
We're chosen.
So, you know, you can just make that your confession.
Right.
I'm chosen.
Amen.
In Christ. Because
Woo.
I'm in Christ, I'm chosen.
Yes.
I've been predestined.
Right.
For this. I've been predestined for blessing.
And so many people, I think, Pastor Chim, go through life not having any clue that they've been chosen.
Right.
Because we're all chosen. I mean, it's very clear here that we're all chosen, but we have to choose to be chosen. We have to choose to accept the choosing.
We have to respond.
You know? We have to respond
God's call.
To the choosing. Yes.
Exactly. I mean, it's the same before you get saved. You
right.
still have to respond. God knows from the beginning of time who was going to choose
That's
and
right.
who was not going to choose.
That's right.
But he calls all people. Jesus
That's
just
right.
didn't die for the elect.
Right.
Ooh, I'm stepping on some Calvinist toes, I know. But Jesus just didn't die for the elect.
Right.
He died
for all
people.
Of us. Everyone,
but we
everywhere.
We have to respond
yes.
to that. We have to respond to that call.
It reminds me when we were talking a couple weeks ago about the Christmas story and the shepherds announced the good news, you know. And I mean, the angels did to the shepherds. And they said, this is for everyone, everywhere, mm-hmm. you know. To all who will hear it and receive it. And John 1:12, you know, for
but
all.
But as many as received him.
Yes.
To those, to them he gave the right to become the children of God.
That's it. It's all about the receiving.
Mm-hmm.
We're all chosen. We all have the equal opportunity. This is equal opportunity salvation, you know.
Amen.
It really is. Everybody's got the opportunity. What are you going to do with your opportunity? Are you going to grow that on the inside of you? God has intentionally given you everything you need. As the scripture says, everything you need for blessing, for everything in your life. Now, what do you do? Do you receive it? Or do you go, that's not important to me. I've got my life. I got my kids. I got my job.
Right.
I got my whatever the case may be.
Well, and just up here in Ephesians 1:3, and I know you've gone over this.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ.
In Christ.
God has given us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly world.
Woo.
That
everything.
Is, in Christ, he chose us before the world was made.
Yes.
So that we could be his holy people.
Amen.
People without blame. You know,
isn't that good? In Christ, we already have these things.
Right.
It's not like we have to go beg and plead and, oh, God, I'm such a miserable worm. I'm just this. I'm awful. I'm this and that. And God is just saying, wait a minute. Wait a minute there. We got to understand what we already have been given.
Exactly. Exactly. Because sometimes, yes, we need to go before God.
We can confess,
and,
yes,
and
be contrite,
and,
yes.
And intercede. I mean, really
right.
get into
sure.
intercession and travailing
sure.
in prayer for certain things. This is not one of them.
Uh-uh.
I've already been blessed. It says,
right.
in Christ, all I have to do is
just take it.
I just have to receive it. I mean, I have to believe it and receive it.
But so many people are full of condemnation, Pastor Jim. They don't understand that it's a free gift. All of this is free. And all they have to do is just say, okay, I'm getting on board with that. I'm getting on board with that, you know? The blessings. For instance, you know, it reminds me of a kind of a metaphor, analogy just coming to me right now. You go to work for a company and they will give you, a friend of mine just now is getting starting a new job tomorrow. Okay. So in this job description or whatever they send you what the benefits are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That what they're going to pay for your health insurance, what they're going to pay for, whatever, you know, how many days off you get or you know, whatever. I'm being a realtor 21 years. I've never had that. We have no benefits as independent contractors. So I, you know, that's a little foreign to me, but I understand the concept. Okay. And you have that with your job.
Right.
Okay. So you can look at all those and say, nah, that's all right. I won't take the health insurance. That's okay. I won't take that. Or days off. Nah, I don't need the days off. Bonus. Nah, I don't need the bonus. You know what I'm saying?
How foolish would that be?
How foolish would that be? And here we are looking at the book of Ephesians, and God says, I got to get my bell. I have already given you these things. I have already given them to you. They're yours.
Right. There are some things we don't have to ask for because
right.
they're ours
yes.
already.
Yes.
We just have to believe it and then walk it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the hard part. I mean, like I said, it'll be 39 years since I've been saved and 38 years baptized in the Holy Spirit
right.
come this October.
Hmm.
It's not always easy to walk.
No.
You know, it's, you know, as long as we're in this.
Well, as we go through this book of Ephesians, we are going to see there's a fantastic book out there if you want something to help you understand the book of Ephesians. And it's one of Pastor Jim's and my favorite books. Mm-hmm. It's called Sit, Walk, Stand by Watchman Nee.
Yeah.
Because what you're going to see in the book of Ephesians in these six chapters are how to sit, which we're going to talk about today.
Where we're seated.
And where are you sitting, by the way? Pastor Jim, where are you sitting?
In heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen. How to walk and then how to stand. And this is really the essence of the book of Ephesians in six chapters. It's amazing yeah. how Paul explains this to the church of Ephesus.
And it's so cool because you can't stand unless your walk is in order.
Mm.
You can't walk unless you know, you can't walk it out.
Right. Unless you know where you're sitting.
So you have to sit before you can walk, and you have to walk before you can stand.
There you go. You know, you go to a Bucks game or a Rays game, which I love to do both, but the Rays games, I love, I have a certain place at Tropicana that I like to sit. Okay. It's along the third baseline, and it's just a nice place. I know where if I'm buying tickets, I want to know, you know, I want to sit a certain
right.
place. Okay. Cause you know, you just see a lot of things. You see over into the dugout of the Rays, just a lot of stuff. I like that position, that place there. So it's where I choose to sit,
mm-hmm.
not where I choose. Now, if they're doing really good, we'll be standing up a lot. Right. But basically, I don't go to Tropicana just to walk around on the inside. Have you ever been to Tropicana?
No.
You can walk all the way around in a circle, okay? All the way, like up on the second level, you can walk around, and third level, you can walk around, okay, without ever going and taking a seat. Now, it would be foolish because you can't get in without buying a ticket, which a
right.
ticket involves a seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I suppose theoretically you could just go in and walk around and never go in and see the game. Good analogy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Never go in and find your seat and sit the game. Well, I'm in Tropicana. I'm here. Okay, nice. This is really nice. Well, I wish I could see the game. Well, you can. You bought a ticket. That's why you're inside. You have a seat assigned to you.
Sit, and then, yeah. It's, yeah, you're right. Paul just, Ephesians is such a great book because it just encompasses so much.
It does. Sit. Where do you sit?
Where are you sitting?
Where are you sitting? Ooh, hallelujah. Let's look at let's look down at verse 20 of Ephesians 1. Oh, wait a minute. We got to get the endless energy and boundless strength in there somehow. I love that. Starting with verse 15 in the Message Bible. That's why when I heard of the solid trust you have in the Master Jesus and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you and give thanks. And we do that for our radio mm-hmm. listeners, for our people at Beacon, those in our lives that bless us with their prayer, with their intercession, with their finances for this show. We give thanks for you. But then Paul goes on to say, but I do more. I think I'm in verse 15 or 16 of Ephesians 1. I do more than thank. I ask. Now, Paul says, it's not just that I'm thanking God for you. Now I'm going to take it a step further and I'm going to get more involved in your life. And I'm going to ask that God do some things in you. Pastor Jim, in those verses up through 19, you want to read those and comment on these? What is Paul saying? Now, I'm not just going to thank God for you. I'm going to take a step further, and I'm going to ask God that he do some things in you.
Right. He starts in verse 17, asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you a spirit of wisdom, mm-hmm. or give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Yes.
So that you'll know him better.
Amen.
I pray that you also have greater understanding in your heart, so you will know the hope to which he has called us.
Yes.
And that you will know how rich and glorious are the blessings God has promised.
Whoa.
His holy people. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. That power is the same as or was demonstrated in the great strength God exerted to raise Christ from the dead and seat him at his right hand in heavenly places.
Amen.
So back in verse 17, Paul prays, first of all, that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Yes, isn't that interesting? That's the first thing Paul prays for
right.
us.
Right, and I think that's, but it makes sense.
It
because,
does.
You know, revelation, we need that revelation. We need a revelation
right.
of God's word.
We need,
you know, we need
to come alive to
exactly.
us.
Exactly, and that's what Paul's talking about
yeah.
here, is that spirit of revelation where it's unveiled.
Right.
You know, the word means
to
unveil.
yeah.
So it's like, Oh! Wow! Where'd that come from?
Right.
You know, but a spirit of wisdom—that's knowing how to use God's word.
That's right. You know, instead of beat people with it,
right,
or
exactly.
clobber them with it, it's encourage them with the
right.
word and teach
right.
them the word. Go ahead.
And he says, so that you'll know him better, get mm-hmm. to know God better, and I have it marked. That's a very special Greek word there. That particular instance of the word "know"
right.
is epignosis. Which is the word gnosis with
right.
the word, the preposition epi tacked on the front.
Right.
And it just means the true, accurate, personal knowledge is what
yes.
it's talking about here.
Whoa.
Gnosis, the Greek word gnosis is just knowledge
in general. Knowledge in general, yeah.
When you put the little preposition epi, epi on the front, it is talking about true, accurate, personal
Praise
knowledge of God.
God.
So that's what Paul was talking about here. I want this to happen to you so that you can really know God.
Right.
You know, not just know God, but really have that intimate,
that personal relationship. And again, that goes back to the intentionality of God.
Mm-hmm.
Paul understood that God was intentionally wanting us to have a relationship
right.
with him.
Right.
And he sent his son so that we could get to know what God was
yeah.
really like. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I love that. That's great.
And it says, I pray also you'll have a greater understanding in your heart, or that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, so that you will know the hope to which he's called us.
Yes.
And you'll know how rich and glorious are the blessings God has promised
Ooh,
us.
Amen.
You know, and that's what we were talking about earlier, so that we can know.
Yeah.
How I like that, how rich and glorious. And I think that's what you were referring to out of the message.
Yeah.
You know, just the how rich and how glorious, just how wonderful God's blessings can be.
In the message, it says that we could grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. The utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy and boundless strength.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. What does
it
say there?
It says, and you will know that God's power is very, and it has in parentheses, exceedingly, overwhelmingly great for us who believe. And this is it. And, okay, I want everybody who's listening, listen up. That power, the power that Paul just talked about.
Yes.
That's great for us, toward
right.
us.
Yes.
Is the same as the great strength God used to raise Christ from the dead and put him at his right side in the heavenly places. The power that works within us is the same. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit. It's that same power that raised Christ.
Romans 8:11. It's that same spirit
that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He will give life to your mortal bodies.
Woo, that's good.
That's what it's talking about here.
Yes.
Sometimes we think, oh, I'm so weak. And you know what? Yeah. Mm-hmm. On our own.
If
we try to do things on our own, we're going to fail.
Absolutely.
But God has given us, and I'm preaching to myself too.
No, you go right ahead. Let's hear it.
God has given us the Holy Spirit, same power that, I mean, it raised a dead person.
Right.
Okay? It raised a person that had been dead for 3 days and three nights. That's the power that lives within us. And I know we've talked about the Greek word power.
Yes.
Dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. I mean, it's that explosive power from God that's in us.
Amen.
It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yes.
And not only that, but, you know, Paul writes, it's the same power that made him rise up, not just from the dead, but ascend into heaven and he sits at the right hand of God.
I love that. I'm glad you brought up Romans 8:11. Those of you that take notes out there, write down Romans 8:11 and go find it and memorize it. If that same spirit, we sing it, so it's hard for me not to burst into song.
I'm about ready to start singing.
Yeah, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead.
Dwells in you.
If that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will give life. And that word in the original Greek is zoe.
Mm-hmm.
The God kind of life. I named my little dachshund, my miniature dachshund, who is hilariously funny and full of life, Zoe Grace. You know, that's her name, you know, and Zoe means that God kind of life, you know. So when I'm calling her Zoe, you know, I'm saying that God kind of life. And she has that kind of life in her. She's just bouncing off everything all the time. But God wants us to realize that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is within us.
Right, right.
It's already there.
And yeah, and I think so many times we spend way too much time begging God for the power.
Yes, give me the power.
You know, give me the power. Give me the Holy Ghost. Give me this.
Mm-hmm.
When it's already there.
It's there, honey. It's
all
there.
All you have to do is
tap
into it. Pray for the release. Yes.
Right.
You know, pray for the release of the Holy Spirit. Pray for the release of that power. But it's already there.
You
don't have to beg God for it.
What?
It says right here.
Yeah, go ahead.
That same power is the same as, you know, and you will know that God's power is very great, exceedingly, overwhelmingly great. For us who believe.
Yes.
Okay, it's there. It's already there.
Endless energy, boundless strength.
Yeah.
You know, we need to be walking like that. Endless energy. You know, so many people, and I mentioned this morning in my sermon, so many people go through life, oh, I don't feel good today. I'm a mess. I'm an awful mess. I'm tired. I can't, you know, just moaning and groaning through their day. You know, and God wants us to get up and realize we got endless energy if we'll just appropriate
right.
it and walk in it. In him. Here we go again in the book of Ephesians. In him, we have endless energy, boundless strength.
Right.
I can be worn out after a service. I'm usually not. I'm exhilarated. But some of us went to Bob Evans today and ate a little bit. And then, I mean, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to, you know, get in here and give it all we've got. And we can do that on a daily basis in our individual lives if we tap into his endless energy and his boundless
right.
strength.
Well, and that's made me think of the revelation that God gave me this morning in my quiet time.
Yeah.
About Abraham not right. looking at the deadness of his body or the
right.
barrenness of Sarah's womb.
Right. Both of them were at the past the age of having children.
Exactly. But God had given Abraham a word, a promise.
Yes, he did.
And he clung to it. And it says his faith was strengthened as he gave glory to God, as he glorified
right.
God, as he praised God, his faith was strengthened.
Amen.
You know, he could look at his physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes, like you said, you know, we wake up, oh, I feel so awful. Okay, we need to give glory to God and say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ
Amen.
Who strengthens me, because it's that strength I get is the same power that raised him from the dead.
Exactly. And when we realize that and we appropriate that, I love that word, for ourselves, appropriate it, take it, you know, okay, that's mine. I'll take that, you know. You know, I'll take that. Okay, that's mine. When we have peanut butter cookies at church a lot, you know, because of Sean and his wonderful baking skills, I always make sure to appropriate a few of those for myself in a little baggie to take home later. You know, that way, those are mine. You know what I'm saying? And we need to get that adamant as I am about Sean's peanut butter cookies. We need to get that adamant about, wait a minute, devil, you cannot take my peace and my joy,
right?
Because that is already mine. In him, I have boundless energy, boundless. I mean, it's there for me. It's endless energy, boundless strength, it says in the Message. Ooh.
That's good stuff.
There's times that life gets broken, Pastor Jim. There's times that we feel like we are so beat up. There was a time this week I was ministering. This was a busy, busy week of ministry. And one of those phone calls this week, somebody said, I don't know if I can take much more. You know, this has happened, this has happened, this has happened. We all get to those points in life where we feel like we are so under attack and we can't take much more. And when life gets broken, there is an answer. I love the song, Russ Lee and Michael O'Brien.
My hands reaching out with no one to hold. You've been abandoned with no place to go. Wounded and wanting such desperate times. Cold, bitter tears are filling your eyes. Get a glimpse of Jesus, for he is right there with you. He knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden. When it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he'll give you strength. And there is nothing you have lost that he can't replace. He'll help you start all over again when life gets broken. God would heal her, but she went home anyway. Now it's hard to imagine how you make it through the days. Weeks turn to years, time's passing you by, but you're still holding on to the hows and the why. Get a glimpse of Jesus. He is right there with you. He knows just what you need. 'Cause when life gets broken, when you're in despair, and carry your burden, when it's too much to bear, it's down in the valley where he. Start all over again when life gets broken. Healing waters heal our troubled souls. Jesus, sweet. When life gets broken, when you're in despair, you carry your burden.
when it's too much to bear. It's down in the valley.
Oh, I love that song. Isn't that a great song? That is When Life Gets Broken by Russ Lee and Michael O'Brien. I love it. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. You're listening to Living the Good Life. And at the beginning of Ephesians 2, Pastor Jim, Paul talks about those times that we are broken. Mm-hmm. He talks about the times that we are doing our own thing. We're just walking around thinking, well, if I do this, I'm going to do this. I want to do it my way. Right.
Right. Can I back up to chapter 1 for just a moment?
You may.
Well, and I think just to kind of finish this too.
Go ahead.
Is, you know, in starting in verse 21, God has put Christ over all. Over all rulers, authorities, powers, kings, over every name that is named, not only in this world, not only in this age, but in the next one coming up.
Right.
God put everything under his feet.
Uh-huh.
And made him head over everything for the church.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to make a point here.
Yeah, let's make that point. That's
Jesus
good.
Jesus is the head of the mm-hmm. church. The church is his body.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of sets us up for what we're going to find out in chapter 2. But just keep that image in mind. We are the body of Christ,
right.
and he's the head of the body, the
right.
church.
Yes.
So even if you're on the heel of Jesus' foot,
right,
you're still above all the rulers and authorities and powers and kings and all that, because Jesus is above all that, and you're part of his body.
You're part of his body.
You're up there.
And I think so often we are, practically speaking, we go through life, a lot of people go through life thinking they don't have any significance where God is concerned. I remember a boss I had years ago in real estate that would say, I'd say, well, I'll pray for you. He says, oh, no, you don't need to pray for me. I'd say, well, why? He goes, that's too little to bother God with. And that really is what he thought, you know? And that, go ahead.
Well, and one of the, I think it was yesterday, day before, the very same thing in the Kenneth Copeland devotional that I'm using talked about being obedient to God when he tells you something, when the Holy Spirit tells you something. The Holy Spirit told Gloria, Ken Copeland's wife, this was years and years and years ago, as she was learning to listen to God, that her car, you know, she'd left the lights on. And she thought it was just, you know, something too small, too trivial. But God kept saying, you left your lights on in your car. And sure enough, she went out there and checked, and sure enough, the lights were on.
Mm-hmm.
And she realized, you know, God was caring about that little detail because
that detail,
Ken,
yes.
You know, Ken wasn't there. He may have been out. I don't know if he's out, you know, doing evangelizing, whatever. But she was there alone with the kids. And
right.
If the car's battery had run down,
right,
she wouldn't have had any transportation. So God does care about those
so
little
So you're
tiny
saying
things.
That God can remind us where something is we've lost,
exactly.
which he can, that he cares about those details in our lives. We get a headache. He wants us to pray about it and do something about it.
Because some people wait until it's, you know, not a headache, but an aneurysm or something to get
right.
prayer.
Right.
God cares about the headaches.
Absolutely.
Too. It doesn't have to be something huge.
Right.
I mean, it's glorious when we see God move and
right.
perform miracles.
Well, but in a job situation, so many people are in job situations where there needs to be a change of some kind. You know, they're miserable.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lady in our church right now who is absolutely under, feeling very oppressed by her boss. Okay. And this has just drug her down. It's been dragging her down for the last year and a half or so. It is just really getting to her to the point that she has really miserable days over this issue.
Mm-hmm.
God cares about
that
those
issue.
Details.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And we read it earlier in Ephesians. He's blessed us.
Yes. He already has.
He has already blessed us. He wants us to have, and we've said this, you know, infinite times, I know, on this show, to walk in the abundant life.
Right.
Jesus said, you know, I came that you might have life and have a half measure. No, I came that you might have life and have it to the full, have it abundantly.
Absolutely.
And that's what God wants for us. And that includes things like praying for headaches.
Right.
Praying to find lost car keys. Well,
right.
Of course, God wants you to find those.
Exactly.
You know, he doesn't want us to walk around frustrated all the time.
Exactly. Yeah. He wants us to be happy and fulfilled in our lives. And God cares. He cares about the person in your life who is your partner or your wife or husband or whatever it is. He cares about that relationship. Mm-hmm. And the older I get, the more I understand that, how important that is to God, that you have that relationship where you are in agreement, you can pray. That's God's ideal, that people be in that kind of prayer agreement. Right. That's his ideal.
Well, yeah.
You know, but I think a lot of people just, oh, well, it's just the way it is. You know, I've been married to so-and-so for 45 years, and it's miserable. Then do something about that, right. You know?
Then start praying for that person.
That's exactly right. And believe God for the miracle that needs to take place in that relationship. Exactly. We're not saying go get a divorce. We're saying believe God for the changes that need to take place so that you can be happy and fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Go ahead with what you were saying here about what Paul is talking to us
about. Well, you know, and it says, you know, the church, you know, is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So we are the fullness of Christ.
Right.
Again, it's that, I just see that like empty Jesus statue with all of the believers inside of it. And it doesn't matter where we are on the body, mm-hmm. we're still far above.
Right.
All rulers, authorities, powers, and kings.
Yes.
And every name that is named.
Mm-hmm.
So every demonic entity, every physical thing that has a name, we're far above that.
And he's watching us, and he's got his hands extended. Mm-hmm. When you were saying that, I was just thinking about Notre Dame campus. My youngest son, Mark, went to Notre Dame for law school. And
touchdown Jesus.
Touchdown Jesus. And that the arms of Jesus are like this. Mm-hmm. Now, every place in that stadium, when you are there for a football game, you look up and what do you see? You see Jesus.
Exactly.
You see Jesus. It's amazing there. Have you been to that campus?
Yes.
It's a gorgeous campus.
Long time ago.
Oh, Mark was there 3 years for law school, and it was just so cool to go there and go to functions and whatever and see that and notice. Allegorically speaking, there he is with his arms extended to us. He's looking out over, I mean, how many thousands and thousands of people fit into Notre Dame Stadium? Mm-hmm. I can't even tell you. Probably 60 or 70,000. But there's all these people, and there he is, you know, and when they are in there, even for a fun function, they see Jesus.
Right.
How about that?
That's cool.
Isn't that cool?
Well, and it is an allegory because that's how Jesus is.
Yeah.
And you were getting to that, actually.
Go ahead. You go right ahead.
Chapter 2, because it says, you know, I'll just summarize the first three verses. In the past, we were spiritually dead. We acted just like Gentile heathen.
Right.
We were children of wrath, Scripture says. You know, because of what we did, because we were in sin and sinning and enjoying our sins.
Right.
We were by nature children of wrath.
Okay.
So, and then we get, you know, to verse 4, and I, you know, in my translation it says, but God.
But God. Absolutely. But God. We were all of that, but God comes along and he just ministers to us in such a powerful way and changes us. But God in his, it says, but God in his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Go ahead.
God whose mercy is great, or God who is most literally God who is rich in mercy.
Right.
Who loved us so very much, though we were spiritually dead because of the things we did against God, he gave us new life. With Christ. Okay, here
Amen.
We go again. He gave us new life.
Yes.
We were born again with Christ, and we have been saved by God's grace, and he raised us up with Christ and gave us a seat with him.
Amen.
In the heavenly places.
Whoa.
So not only were we spiritually dead, God made us alive.
Right.
He raised us from the dead.
Yes, he did.
He didn't stop there.
Right.
I mean, as if that wasn't enough, you know, we do Passover.
Right.
One of the songs you sing is Dainu, which is, it would have been enough.
Right.
Okay, that would have been enough to just give me new life. But he didn't stop there.
No.
He raised us up.
Amen.
And seated us with Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, Think about that.
That is incredible. And because of that, of where we're seated, we have the right and the authority to go to him to pray for needs. We got somebody, a caller that's just called in, a Mr. Johnson from Clearwater, who wants prayer, right, Bill? Mr. Johnson, God bless you. You need some prayer.
Yes, I need prayer.
Okay. Anything in particular? Prayer for healing or what?
I need prayer for my family.
Okay.
Now you might try to hear me because I just got out of the hospital. I have bone surgery.
Okay. Jaw surgery. You just had jaw surgery, and so you need prayer for that. You just got out of the hospital. Okay.
Right. And I need prayer for my family.
Okay.
Which is Uncle John Kirkland has passed away. I want all of us to have faith in the good Lord above.
Okay. All right. Well, we will pray for you right now, Mr. Johnson. Thank you for calling in. We're glad you're a listener on Living the Good Life. We speak blessing to you. Lord, we just ask right now that you just touch Mr. Johnson's body, and we thank you that you are touching his family. Lord, we thank you that he was able to have the surgery, and we ask right now for your healing touch because we have the authority in the name of Jesus. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we have the right and the authority to claim healing for Mr. Johnson right now. And so, God, we do that for his family and for his physical body. And we thank you, Lord, that because of where we're seated with you in heavenly places, we can boldly go to the throne of grace to receive mercy and help in time of need. So we ask you to bless this listener, and we thank you, Lord, for all the others out there in Radio Land who are listening who need a touch from you, God. Let this show help them realize the importance of being able to appropriate all that God has for them, including healing for their bodies, their minds, their families, their relationships, all of it. It's because of where we are seated that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank you. Thank you, God, for the healing in Mr. Johnson's life. And thank you, sir, for calling in and listening. Ooh, God bless you. Praise God.
It's so perfect with that pin. God just took that pin and hit that bell so perfectly.
I was just praying away with my red pen, right? And it bang, it got it right at the right time. Praise God. Thank you, Bill, for putting through the caller. Any of the rest of you that are out there that want to call in, of course you can. We don't do a lot of that, but you can if you need a prayer right away. We will be happy to do that. Pastor Jim, explain one more time what this means about being seated with Christ in heavenly places. This is huge, huge truth.
Right. Remember
right
where
here.
Jesus is seated. He's seated at the right hand of God. So that means, you know, ruling. He rules with God. Well, guess what? We're in Christ, seated in the same place.
Amen.
We are rulers. We're not victims. We're not defeated.
Amen, brother.
We're not little powerless ants
exactly.
or something waiting for, you know, Satan or circumstances to come step on us.
Right.
We're above that. We
exactly.
are above those things.
Absolutely. It's my Indiana folks that were part of my church up there when I pastored Cornerstone, there's several of them listening that listen regularly to this show. And some of you will remember the pastoral chair that I had in Indiana that one of our people bought me. I still have it here in Beacon of Hope, and it sits above. It's a stool with a back on it. It's a beautiful wood stool, a chair. And today when I was illustrating this point, we were talking about the difference of just sitting in a normal little black chair that we have in our congregation or sitting above those chairs mm-hmm. and letting our feet have the ability to stand against and to take authority. The feet ministry has to do with taking authority over the junk that the devil's throwing at you. And we'll talk more about that in this next hour. We are glad you've joined us on Beacon of Hope's Living the Good Life today. It's good. And Bill, we're so glad you're back. And we're just so glad that God is doing a great work in Engineer Bill.
Well, thank you. I was hesitant to put that caller on, but
I'm glad you did.
I deep down inside, I knew he was. It yes. had to be real.
Yeah,
he did. I mean, he didn't sound faking.
Right.
I could tell that he was. That he was right there, and he was hurting.
Right.
And
well, if you call in, brother Bill in the engineer's booth will answer the phone.
Well,
first
sometimes you got to judge him. You know,
441-3000. Yes.
Well, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Station identification.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
All right. You are listening to Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life, our radio show. Pastor Jim, in April, we are going to hit our 5-year mark. We are going to celebrate. There's the applause. We're going to celebrate with a huge celebration. It's the middle of April is our anniversary where we hit the 5-year mark of this radio show, Living the Good Life. And we love Dave and Lola and everybody here at Tantalk 1340. It's great.
I have a few prayer requests.
Do you?
The show coming on after you,
right.
Rick Kolb, he's in a little trouble, needs a little prayer.
Okay. We'll put him on our prayer list.
You seen that lady that was in here giving massages not too long ago?
Sure.
She was in a serious car wreck just around Christmas,
right.
And now she cannot massage anymore.
Okay.
She just lives around the corner. Her name's Dr. D. She needs a prayer request
both Dr. D in.
And one more prayer request. When we were talking about her, she dialed me on the phone, and I talked to her. And she's like, and that's Nan.
Oh, is Nan? Okay, great.
I'd like to have a prayer request
all
for
right.
Nan.
Yeah, she's not feeling good. She hurt her back real bad yesterday.
Well, I can't wait to see her, though, once she gets here.
Oh, yeah. Praise God. All right. So it's been a good day on Living the Good Life, Pastor Jim. We're glad everybody's joining us today. We still have another hour, and we're live right here in the radio station.
Amen.
You can call us on 727-441-3000. You can write us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. And you can also go back on our website, beaconofhopeministries.com, catch some of the past shows that you may not have been able to listen to at the time when they were live. We have a couple years of shows on our website. We got a big capacity on our server. So, Pastor Jim, what did you want to say about that? I mean, we're excited that we have that ability on our website.
It's amazing. It's just amazing. I mean, you can go back and really listen to some old stuff.
Right.
It's a great thing.
It is. It really is. And we're getting ready to expand this year in 2012 into some other avenues that we'll tell you about when we have that all crystallized and formatted here. So we want to make our services more available to you, and we're going to make that happen. So it's a good year. It's a great year. It's a new year, 2012, and we're excited to be here on the radio with you. So there is so much going on in people's lives. We welcome you to our services Sunday morning at 10 at Beacon of Hope, which is 3700 Almerton Road. And on Wednesday night, prayer meeting starts at 6:15 and Bible study starts at 7. It's interactive. Bring your Bible. Bring a notebook. We people talk. We teach. Pastor Jim and I teach. But yet everybody is involved. It's audience participation, and it is fun. So we welcome you this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for Bible study. Get you out of there by about 8:30. So anyway, listen to this new song, Motion of Mercy, by Francesca Battistelli.
I was poor, I was weak, I was the definition of the spiritually bankrupt condition, so in need of help. I was unsatisfied, hungry and thirsty when you rushed to my side. So unworthy, still you gave yourself. By love. Something for nothing. I wanna be a glimpse of the kingdom that's coming soon. That's the motion of mercy, changing the way and the why we are. That's the motion of mercy, moving my heart. Living for the Lord, loving till it hurts, no matter what the cost, like you love me.
Good song. I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's
that's a great song.
She's a good
singer. One of your favorite ones.
That's,
yeah.
I like that one.
Francesca.
Yeah.
How do you say her last name?
Battistelli.
Battistelli. All right. Very good. Great song.
And I just want to quickly give
a
shout out to Nan.
Nan. We miss you, Nan.
We got you, Nan.
She's usually here with us.
Yes, we do. We miss you.
She hurt her back real bad, Bill. So we're just going to believe that she is healed. And we speak healing to you, Nan, right where you are. And we hope to see you Wednesday. God is doing a mighty work in people at Beacon of Hope, Pastor Jim. I'm so excited about this new year. It's just talking about God's mercy. Is the series we're in right now is entitled Goodness, Grace, actually God's Goodness, Grace, and Glory, you know? And grace and mercy are so intricate here. Grace is talking about, you know, just God's unmerited favor. When we don't deserve it, we still get it.
Mm-hmm.
And mercy is talking about when we deserve to be punished, we don't get that.
Right.
So where are we here in Ephesians chapter 2,
Bob, down to verse 8.
8, one of my favorites.
Right. And he says, I mean that you've been saved by grace through believing faith. You didn't save yourselves. I like the way this translates.
Yeah,
you didn't save yourselves. It was a gift from God.
Yes.
It was not a result of your own efforts, your own works, so that you cannot bring boast about it. God has made us what we are, and it has in parentheses here, for we are his handiwork, his workmanship, his work of art.
Isn't that great? His work of art.
In Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh. There you go. In him again. That's another in him. I'm going to fix the AC while you do that.
We've been created to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. So, you know, Paul says, and these are pretty famous verses. They're right up there with John 3:16.
Yeah, they really are.
Love
these verses.
By grace you're saved through faith. And most, you know, the translation I'm most familiar with says not of yourselves, but I like this. It says, you didn't save yourself. It was a gift from God. And sometimes that's another thing that's hard for people to accept, even something as simple as salvation.
Yes.
Because all you have to do is repent and believe. And some people, because it's a gift. Paul says it's a gift.
It's a gift.
And sometimes, you know, we have that, you don't know what I've done. Well, you don't know what I've done either.
Right.
I've done some pretty crappy things towards God.
Crappy things.
Towards God. And
But 1 John 1:9 says,
if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And praise God for those verses, because those were written to unbelievers. Those were written to Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So just everybody keep that in mind.
Right.
But I think, you know, sometimes we think, well, I've done too much.
Right.
God can't forgive me. I mean, I'm talking about unbelievers think, you know, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't, God will never forgive me. Well, yeah, he will.
Yes, he will.
You know, the worst thing you can do is, you know, believe that lie, because that just keeps you from getting saved. There's nothing you need to do. Jesus already did it all.
Right.
That old hymn, Jesus paid it all.
Oh, I love that old
to
hymn.
Him I owe.
I love that.
You know, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow.
Oh, we got to do that song. Amen. I love that song. Yeah.
But there's nothing we can do. We can't save ourselves.
Right.
And we don't need to. The funny thing is, we don't need to.
Right.
And I find it sadly humorous. That so many people, especially of different religions or cults, whatever, put so many stumbling blocks up in front mm-hmm. of people in order to get saved. Well, right. you got to go out and you got to spend 2 years being a missionary, or you got to go door to door all the time, right. or you have to fast on these certain days, or,
right.
you know, it's all, no, we don't exactly. have to do that. Jesus already did it all.
Absolutely.
There's nothing more to be done.
Amen.
All you have to do is accept it. And it doesn't matter. When Jesus went to the cross, he took every sin that had ever and every sin that you would ever commit
yes.
to the cross. When he was resurrected, he took his blood before the Father, and the Father said, that's enough.
Yes.
It's enough.
He satisfied the requirements.
Exactly. Those sins have already been paid for.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
But we, again, I'm going back to my A word for today. We have to appropriate that, what God
exactly.
has already done through Jesus' death on the cross, allowing himself to be the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. We have to get in touch with that reality and receive the mercy.
Yes.
It's ours. It's in him. We have all the riches and mm-hmm. all the mercy that we could ever, ever want. We have all of that, all the forgiveness we could ever want, all right. the healing for our bodies. I'm preaching to myself right now. I mean, come on, think about this. We have it all already. It's already done. We are seated with him in heavenly places. We have the appropriation, okay? Mm-hmm. Recently, God said to me one day that just look over in the thicket. Remember the story of Abraham and Isaac. When Isaac is ready, he's laying on the altar, and Abraham thinks that,
he's
going to have to kill him. But he said, you know, well, if I kill him, God will raise him up, you know. But he's to that point where he's getting ready with a knife in hand. I love that in Genesis. And then God calls his attention. It's a good thing Abraham was hearing God, right?
Mm-hmm.
So come on Wednesday night to Beacon of Hope and learn how to hear from God. It's a good thing that he was listening, because God said, wait a minute, Abraham, hey, hang on there, sweetie pie. Right.
I see you believe. Now look over in that
Look
bush.
Over there.
Look
over there.
Thicket.
I've got the provision. It's right there. And this is where God calls himself Jehovah Jireh. Now, mm-hmm. That's how I pronounce it, but in the Hebrew, you pronounce it correctly.
Yahweh Yireh,
which means the Lord our provider,
right.
and he sees ahead.
Right. The Lord who sees and provides.
It's who sees and provides. That's really what it means. The Lord who sees and provides. So whatever your situation is, my friend, right now, God sees your situation. He's got the provision over there in the thicket.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there.
Exactly.
He's got it there. He's by his... Come on. We're preaching here, Pastor Jim.
We are.
But by his mercy... It's already been given to us.
Right. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Yes.
God has already, God in Christ
yes.
was reconciling the world to himself. We are the ambassadors. All Christians
right.
are called to be ambassadors of Christ.
Right.
To let people know it's already done.
It's already done.
God has already reconciled you
yes.
all, but it doesn't do you any good, unfortunately, unless
right.
you believe it.
Unless you believe it.
But God's, and I, you know, I've been quoting a lot from Kenneth Copeland today, but
that's okay.
One
He's
of my
wonderful.
Favorite
I
quotes
love Kenneth
is
Copeland.
What he tells people is God is not mad at you
right.
anymore.
That's right.
He took care of it on the cross.
Woo!
Okay?
Amen. Amen.
You know,
earthly family can be mad at us and walk away from us and not be happy with us or whatever, be mad or
well,
whatever.
We covered that scripture this morning out of
In
Psalm 27.
Psalm 27, my father and my mother have left me, David said, but you've never left me, God, in Psalm 27. And that can happen, you know. But when we are diligently saying, okay, God, I want all you have for me. This reminds me of... In 1958 and 59, when my dad and my mom were being called to the mission field in Central America, and my two younger sisters and I were going to go with them, of course, which we did, my grandparents actually called a huge family meeting. My dad had six brothers and sisters. They called a huge family meeting to sit us down to pound sense into my dad that there was no way he could leave the country, leave his church that was thriving and growing, and take his wife, my mother, and my two younger sisters and I to the mission field, that the family was going to do something about this. They were not in agreement. They were, you know, they were saying, how can you do this? I was only 10, but I remember it. I remember it so distinctly because it was a fight. It was a battle.
Oh, I bet.
It was a bad family situation. Go ahead.
And I pray my parents aren't, or my dad's not listening. My mother's passed away. But when I got saved,
right,
it was like, oh, no, you didn't.
Right.
When I got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, my father's only knowledge of that was a really wild Pentecostal
church. Wild people,
church.
Crazy people, yeah.
And, I mean, I was pretty much, he had no clue.
Right.
You know, and then some other circumstances happened in my life, and he really had no clue.
Right.
Praise God. God has come a long way
right.
in many of that. But yeah, I mean, I clung to that scripture for a long time.
Right.
Because my family had, when I got saved, my family just looked at me like I'd turned purple or something.
Right. And so maybe some of our listeners, because this came up right now, wasn't part of what we're, well, we never know what we're going to do anyway. Right. So, you know, we just let the Holy Spirit lead. So I started saying, wasn't what we were going to talk about, but hey, who knows what we were going to talk about anyway. But the family, they really did take a stand, you know, and I can remember my dad standing up and saying, okay, we're leaving now because we are going to Central America and I am taking my wife and my daughters. And this is what God has told me to do, and I'm going to be obedient. And I thank God that my dad was obedient. It changed my life. I'm sitting here today because my dad mm-hmm. stood against the family pressure, stood up and said, well, I'm sorry this upsets you so much, but we're going.
Right.
I like it when you tell the story about when the brakes.
When the brakes went out on the.
And your dad put his hands.
He did. I'll tell that real quick, Bill. Because, yeah, in Central America, when my sisters and I went to missionaries' kids' boarding school 700 miles away from my parents, up in the mountains of Huehuetenango, up by Mexico. And they lived, my parents lived in a little town called Chiquimula, which means little mule, down in the valley. And so they came up for my eighth grade graduation, and they brought my uncle, who was a Assembly of God pastor from Fort Myers, Uncle Fred and Aunt Delight, his wife. And they came for my eighth grade graduation. So we were all driving down from up here, 700 miles down to, from Huehuetenango down to Chiquimula. And we were driving around in an old, what we called in those days, a carryall. It was just like a great big huge Suburban or something, you know? And we were in this, and Dad and Uncle Fred, Dad was driving, Uncle Fred was sitting in the passenger side. I was clear in the very back row. And Mom and Aunt Delight were right there, and then my sisters, we were all clear in the back. And the brakes went out on that carryall as we were coming around. There's no paved roads. It was all dirt and rock. And we're coming around the mountains, and we started getting faster and faster, going faster and faster. We would have gone right over the side of that. Maybe we would all die. There was no, we were way up there in the mountains. And Uncle Fred put his hands on the dashboard, and I'll never forget this as long as I live, and he started commanding in Jesus' name. He knew where he was sitting, Pastor Jim. Uncle Fred knew. I've seen Uncle Fred heal people like you would not believe. And Uncle Fred put his hands on that dashboard and commanded those brakes to come back and was praying in tongues and shouting and yelling. And man, they came back and they grabbed and we were safe. And that's a true story. And that's a wild. The power of God, Uncle Fred knew where he was seated.
Right.
He
right.
knew where he was. Now he's seated in heaven with Jesus, and I'll see him again someday and tell him how he infected my life. My Uncle Fred changed my life because mm-hmm. I saw him lay hands on people and have them get healed, which changed my life entirely at age 12 or 13.
Yeah. Nothing quite that dramatic, but.
True story. Thanks, Bill.
And for me, you know, it's amazing the way God does
yes.
those kind of things and puts people in our life at just the right time. And I've shared, you know, when I went to college, I had no intention of getting saved. You know, my pastor of my Methodist church, who was a very good man, Pastor Beck, I really liked him. He suggested I get involved with Campus Crusade for Christ.
Yes.
I said yes, just to please him, you know. But the funny thing is, God would not let me go up there. I had this like obsession. I had to buy a Bible. So, you know, and I go up there and I do end up getting saved.
Or right.
I was probably saved before because I did that every year at church camp.
Right.
but I mean, I really understood this time.
Yes.
But one of the people in the Bible study that I attended was Pentecostal. He was
right.
Assembly of God. And it's funny. I visited his church and laying hands on people, praying
right.
for them to get healed. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. You know, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, but God uses things like
that's
that. I mean,
right.
I heard people speak in tongues, and there wasn't, and I never heard it before except, you know, from Joe in our Bible study.
Right.
And I thought, well, there's nothing weird about this.
Right.
You know, it's for them, not for me. But, you know, God showed me all, changed that all around, didn't he? But yeah, I mean, God puts people in our lives at just the right time.
Oh, absolutely.
And for just the right purpose.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And again, I have to say, you know, moving to Florida. I fought moving to Florida. I did not want to move down here. My partner wanted to move down here, and he can tell you, I fought.
Right.
I did not want to move. I stalled. I hemmed. I hawed. I didn't want to move here. Because, you know, I had what I, you know, I knew I was supposed to help with the church, and I thought it was in Chicago. Well, that never happened.
Right.
And finally, I gave in and said, okay, God. So that's when I started looking for a church. And, you know, I praise God because this is, you know, and things have not been, they've been great, but I mean, there's been a lot of trials since we moved down here.
Right.
You know, we moved down here, we moved down here in September. We lost our dog in November of that year.
You've gone through a lot.
I mean, it was just, it was really rough for a while, but praise God. You know, I'm doing what God wants me to do.
And you and I make a fabulous team. I got to say, you're wonderful. I'm glad to have you by my side. And it's just, what a joy. What a joy.
We're brothers and sisters from two separate sets of parents.
That's right. And we even went to the same university, Ball State University, just separated by a few years here since you were, no, it's me that's older. That's right. Come to think of it. Take My Hand by Lindsay McCall.
I heard you say it. I know you did. Called me out into waves and wind, and for a moment I was brave and strong, but now everything is going wrong, and didn't you
Pastor Jim, you're right. It fits right in.
It just fits in in with what we've been talking about.
I mean, Connie just waits on the Lord. She's our musical director for the show, and she just lets the Lord show her the songs, and it's always just right on. It's just what God does here. Take My Hand. We've been talking about Ephesians 1 and 2, and we're in this series right now called God's Goodness, Grace, and Glory. And where do we leave off right here, Pastor Jim, in Ephesians 2,
about verse 10. Verse 9, it was not a result of your own efforts, talking about salvation, so that you can't brag about it.
Right.
Okay? we can never stand on, we can never brag about our own salvation. Right. I mean, we didn't do anything to earn it.
Right.
You know, Jesus did it all.
Amen.
And we can't brag about it, which is an okay thing, because, you know, we used to joke in the, I was mentioning the Bible study in Campus Crusade, we used to joke about earning salvation points or losing salvation points. I mean, it was just a joke.
Right.
You know, but some people would do that. It's like, well, I've been especially good today, so God really should answer my prayer. Well, no,
it's not
that's
like
not
that.
Really the basis on why he answers prayer.
No.
But then it says, God has made us what we are.
Amen.
Okay, God has made us what we are. And
yes.
Pastor, you remember those posters back in the 70s, God doesn't make junk.
Right, I do remember,
you know, remember
those posters.
Those. And, yeah. You know, here's the foundation. And, mm-hmm. you know, because I used to think, oh, that's just, you know, where'd they come up with that? Well, here's where they came up with it.
Right.
God made us what we are.
Yes.
Most translations say we are his workmanship.
Oh, I love that.
We're his workmanship.
And created in Christ Jesus.
You're right. And we are, workmanship there means the work of his hands. We're and the Greek word is work of art.
Amen.
It's poema. We're his poem. We're
Woo!
His work of art.
Yes.
We're his sculpture, his painting, his symphony.
Ah, yes.
And think about that. That just puts a whole new light on salvation. It's not like I'm his garbage, or I'm his refuse, or I'm his whatever. I'm his work of art.
Oh, absolutely.
God works in each one of us
mm-hmm.
to form us into a work of art. A tapestry.
Yes.
Okay, I want to be a tapestry guy, because I think, I do, I think tapestries are so cool.
Right.
So I want to be God's tapestry.
Oh.
Okay. Nan would be God's poem.
That's
okay?
Right. Yeah.
Nathan would be God's song.
Song.
You know? But we're all his works of art.
Amen.
And that should be heartening, I think, to anybody who hears it. And I encourage you, really think about that. It's not like God saved you and then dropped you off.
Mm-hmm.
God, you're his work of art. So he's working on you. He's working on you to create a wonderful Ooh. Work of art.
And to just do such a fresh, wonderful work. And you can't even imagine what
right.
he's
And the whole theme here, these
do.
First two chapters, is a repeated phrases for the praise of his glory.
Yes.
When people look at you, they're going to see that beautiful tapestry.
Yes.
They're going to hear that wonderful song. They're going to listen to that poem.
When you talk about this work of art, okay, one of my good friends, I've known her for a number of years, wanted to have a child and finally did a couple years ago. And you've seen pictures of her. Her name is Addison.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just gorgeous. Well, I was over there a few weeks back and babysat for her for a couple days because of just the schedule. They needed help. And there is in her bedroom above her changing table. Now, she's only 15 months old. There is this canvas. Because when you mention art, okay, there's this canvas about this big over her changing table now. And it is, I asked her mother when she came home from work, did Addison paint that? And she said, yes. What they did was they took her outside in the grass and in her diaper, you know, or and some paint and a canvas and let her just do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is the cutest, most expression. I mean, there's no like people or houses or trees. It's free art and in all these colors. And it is so amazing. And when you start talking about we are God's art, okay, here's a baby that's unblemished by what the world says you should paint on a canvas. Okay. She was only like 8 months old when she did this. Okay. And she's sitting out there in the yard with just paint and just freely doing whatever. And here we are. We are God's artwork. You know, mm-hmm. He has said, I like your uniqueness. I'm going to make you, you know, that painting or that canvas is totally unique. There's not another one like that in the whole world because Addison did that
right.
at 8 months old. Okay. It is her rendition of something, whatever it was in her 8 month old brain. Okay. But how like God that he just says, okay, I'm going to create you different than somebody else, perhaps. Mm-hmm. A little diverse. A little, you have different goals. You have different whatever ideas of what you want to accomplish, you know? Go ahead.
Well, and we last year had gone at church and Bible study over the gifts of the Spirit. And we talked about, the word escapes me now, but like the personality type gifts.
Yes.
We all are different. We have that temperament. Different motivational gifts. We have different motivations, different temperaments.
Yes.
And God sees all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like when you get saved, because obviously we're not all the same painting.
Right.
We're not all the same song. We're not all the same portrait.
No, we're not.
Or tapestry.
We're not.
Because we are each different. And God has an individual plan.
Absolutely.
God has a general plan for all of us, and that's for us to meet him in glory. But individually, he has different things for each of us to do. And different things he's molding us to do.
Absolutely.
He's making us that work of art. And, you know, Paul goes on to say, in Christ Jesus, God created us to do good works.
Amen.
Which he planned for us in advance.
Yes.
To live our lives doing, or the New Revised Standard Version says, to be our way of life. God created us, or recreated us in Christ.
Right.
To do these good works, for them to be our way of life. And I think that's where that canvas, the song, the tapestry, all that shines through by the good works that we do in Christ. Because on our own, you know, the beginning of this chapter, chapter 2, tells us what we're like on our own.
On our own, we just mess up.
We're not about to do good works. But in Christ Jesus, we're called to live a life doing good works. Not so we can earn our salvation, but so we can show forth God's new creation.
And it's okay that you do it differently. You, your gifts, your abilities are different than mine.
Right.
We complement each other.
Right.
I've always said that I don't know how three so different children, you have one daughter, mm-hmm. I have two sons and a daughter, and how three such different children could come out of the same two parents. Growing up in the same home, my three are so different in their personalities, their temperament, all kinds of things. But the thing that they have in common, Ryan, Lori, and Mark, is that they all love the Lord with all their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they express it differently, Ryan leads worship at a large church in Indiana. He plays drums, leads worship. His expression is so different than my daughter or my other son, Mark. And yet, so God is saying, look, in your own families, you're not the same. You know, my dad was totally different than his brothers and sisters. Dad is the one who had the call to the mission field. The others thought he was crazy and thought, you know, what are you doing?
Right.
You know, and yet we have got to be true to the call of God on our lives and actually flourish in that, even if it means, and I don't know who I'm talking to out there in Radio Land, but sometimes it means that some of our closest family members reject us and turn on us because of the stand that we take, because we actually believe we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we do warfare, and we do take authority over the devil and what he tries to do in our lives and in our physical bodies. We do lay hands on the sick and they recover. We do preach the word in season and out of season. We fulfill the work of the ministry. We're evangelists. We do what God has called us to do. Does that make us different? Absolutely, it makes us different.
Well,
you know,
and each of us do it maybe in a different way.
Right.
A lot of people at church get rowdy, really rowdy.
At our church? Praise.
Yes, at Beacon.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
And
they're praising and yelling.
And some of us don't. I'm one of those who's a little more quiet. And that's okay. I mean, I'm not a big shouter. I have been known to shout. I've been known to let out a big old war yelp.
Right.
I dance.
Right.
You know,
you
if
dance.
I get real blessed, I'll go shooting across the front of the, you know, that's my thing. I'll dance.
You'll dance. Yeah.
And I think, but that's, you know, that's what makes.
Right.
I mean, we're all different members of the body, Paul
mm-hmm.
says.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we're all different works of art.
Yes,
God
we are.
Does these different things in each one of us because, like you said before, we do complement each other.
We do.
It
would be, and Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12. How would the body look if the whole body was just an arm?
Right.
You know, how would the body be if, it, in fact, he says, if it was all a foot, is what he says.
How could it talk?
Or an eye.
How could it hear?
You know, we need eyes. We need a mouth. We need ears. We need all of our body parts to be able to function.
Correctly.
Okay, correctly. And it's the same as what we're talking about here. And we each have to understand where we fit in the body of Christ, in the local church. It's so important. Paul says in Hebrews, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but continue to worship with each other. There is such amazing stuff that happens it corporately at Beacon of Hope, mm-hmm. when we get together and worship God and teach and listen to the teaching and come up for prayer and receive the ministry and sing the songs and do all that, we walk out of there service after service amazed at mm-hmm. what God has just done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we let God do what God needs to do. We let him do what he needs to do
totally.
In us and let him do it the way he needs to do it in us. I mean,
right.
again, we do things differently. Some people, you know, will come up for prayer and immediately get healed. Some people, you know, their healing starts. It just takes a little
right.
time for it to fully manifest. Some, you know, we have some people who sing loudly, some people who sing softly.
Right. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, you know, and that's all a wonderful thing.
Exactly. It's just the different parts of the body fulfilling their part.
Exactly.
When I went to lunch today, somebody from our church looked across the table at me and said, that prophetic word that came out this morning was for me. And I said, praise God, it was for me too.
It was for me too.
All right, there you go. And then she went on to say, and the sermon, I thought you were just preaching to me. I said, praise God, I was preaching to me. And you got it too. And that's what we're talking about,
right.
that God sees what we each need. It may be a little nugget in a sermon. It right. may be a huge paragraph in the sermon. It may mean that the whole thing, you're just sitting there like with bug eyes because you're like, whoa, God, you're talking to me, you know? You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, Pastor. Been there.
Woo! And you know, if we stay home in bed under the covers or we go party too much the night before or whatever excuses the people have for not getting there and hearing the word, they won't grow.
Right.
Like they could.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I know from my own, you know, from being out of a church before I moved down to Florida, I mean, it'd
right.
been years. You know, I tried this church and tried that church, and I went to an Episcopal church for a while, and, you know, God bless them. I mean, it was nice. It was at least I was meeting with other believers. But it wasn't where I was supposed to be. And, you know, praise God that, you know, like I've said it before, I missed it. I mean, when I came in to Beacon that first time, it's like, wow, have I missed this? You know, just the fellowship with other people and
right.
sharing it and talking about God with other people who understand what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And we were going through a rough time when you joined us. The truck had gone through our building.
Right.
We were in a little hotel, and it was like crazy.
Church in a box.
Difficult. Church in a box. Yeah, the back of my truck. But I'll tell you what, God met our needs, and still he has. And we have more than doubled this past year. We're going to do that again this year. God has really, really manifested his glory in our services. He is moving mightily. And people can literally come as they are.
Right.
And we're all about being comfortable. Jeans and comfort clothes,
right.
you know, which absolutely, it's amazing. Where did our engineer go? We need this song.
He's playing back.
All right,
there.
We'll get him back because look at that, how this segue, and it wasn't,
right.
of course, intended or
right.
planned.
Well,
but look at this song, Come As You Are.
And it's so true because that's how God accepts us. God
yes.
accepts us as we are.
Right.
And he uses what we are to
right.
turn us into that work of art.
Ooh. Absolutely. Come As You Are by Pocket Full of Rocks.
This is number six, right? Number six.
This is, number six.
He's not mad at you. And he's not disappointed. His grace is greater still than all of your wrong choices. He is full of mercy, and he is ever kind. Hear his invitation, his arms are open wide. You can come as you are, with all your broken pieces.
please, God, you can come as you are with all your broken pieces and your painful scars. Jesus' first sermon he preached was recorded in Luke chapter 4, and Jesus got up and they handed him a scroll, and he read these verses, which is our vision at Beacon of Hope. We weren't intending to go there, but that's where we're going.
Yep.
It's where we're going. This was our same vision at Cornerstone Ministry in Indiana that I started and pastored. Isaiah 61, 1. These are the verses that Jesus stood up and read from the scroll, his first sermon. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. That's what Jesus read.
Amen.
Jesus, he said then, this day this scripture is fulfilled. It was fulfilled in Jesus because he came to heal the brokenhearted. Pastor Jim, this is amazing. I mean, this song comes up right then, come as you are. And that is the message of Jesus all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Come as you are. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Matthew 11, 28, 29, he said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's Matthew 11, 28, 29. Mm-hmm. This is the message of the gospel, Pastor Jim. There may be somebody out there listening today who needs to understand that Jesus came for the brokenhearted. It's okay that your heart is broken. It's time to let Jesus heal it. Go ahead.
Right. Well, I was going to say, you know, Jesus was anointed to bring the gospel, the good news to the poor.
Yes.
And, you know, yes, physically poor, those yes. who aren't rich, the poor.
Right.
And those who are spiritually poor, God wants you to know there's good news.
Amen.
To bind up those whose hearts are broken, to tell the captives they're free and the prisoners that they're released. You know, not only does salvation include just getting saved, as we right. normally think about, you know, that being able to have a relationship with God and get to heaven, but it also includes being set free.
Set free. Absolutely. You know, deliverance. Jesus is right. the deliverer. Yes.
To tell the prisoners you're released.
Right.
Jesus opened up those prison doors. You may feel like you're stuck in a prison of something. You know, whether it's an addiction or fear or discouragement or you know, just poor self-image or something. Whatever those prison doors are.
Absolutely.
There, Jesus says, you're released.
Right.
I've opened up the doors.
We used to sing this little chorus at Cornerstone, and I'm sure you remember it from Indiana. His name is Jesus, that's Jesus. Sad hearts weep no more. He has healed the brokenhearted. Open wide the prison doors. He is able to deliver evermore.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember that old song? Oh, no, no.
But
our voices
true.
Are shot today after all this. But you know what?
But it's true.
It's true. He came to heal the brokenhearted, right. open wide the prison doors. He's able to deliver evermore. Go ahead.
Well, and, you know, to comfort those who are sad.
Yes.
To help the sorrowing, the
yes.
people of Zion, to give them a crown to replace their ashes. You know, and ashes were a symbol of mourning.
Mourning.
If you were mourning
yes.
somebody like Job.
Right.
When he was beset by all those troubles, you'd throw ashes,
threw ashes
on yourself.
On him. Yeah.
And God says, no, I'm going to give you a crown.
Amen.
To replace it. The oil of gladness to replace your sorrow. The garment of praise for a spirit of discouragement or a heavy
wow.
heart. You know, God says, I'm going to exchange these bad things for these good things.
Absolutely. and just walk in those things.
Right, and again, just accept them. Believe. It's right here.
Appropriate them.
Right. It's right here in the scriptures. Isaiah 61, find that the first three verses, memorize those. Those are for you.
Yes.
Those are for you. I mean, they're for all of us. And these are just wonderful. God's given me. And these are, I mean, I'm preaching myself again.
Go ahead.
I need to remember. I mean, stirs it up within me.
Yes.
And I'll start singing again, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Yes.
I need to remember
Amen.
That.
That's the answer right there, the garment of praise.
Right.
Oh, I just feel the anointing so strong. I'm going to pray right now. There are some of you out there right now in radio land who are hurting desperately. You have pain. You have pain in your bodies and you have pain in your hearts. You have pain in your emotions and you feel brokenhearted. And Jesus is saying today, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your souls. And that is what he's saying. He came to give you rest. He came to heal your broken heart. And we just reach out to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak that healing for your broken heart that is needed. We speak the healing for your broken body that is needed. There is somebody out there right now who's got kidney failure. And the Lord wants to reach down and touch your body right now. Oh, wherever you are, put your hands back there on your kidneys and just believe God for the healing in your kidneys right now, because God wouldn't call it out if he wasn't going to heal it. I don't know who you are. I don't know what country you are in. I know nothing about you. Actually, I am seeing a man. It's a gentleman. It's a man. And God wants you to put your hands on your kidneys right now and claim healing. There's somebody right now with a heart disease that could take your life at any moment. And the Lord would say to you right in this moment, put your hand on your own heart right now and claim by faith the healing of Almighty God in your heart. Claim it right now, because you've got some issues that could take your life at any moment. And God is saying, I want to heal you. Put your hand by faith. When you put your hand on your own heart by faith, God is going to reach down and heal you. I don't know where you are or who you are. I'm seeing a woman. I think you're elderly. And I see gray hair. And so just claim it. Put your hand on your heart right now. Maybe for more than one woman or one man. So just reach out and believe God. There is somebody right now that's got such pain in your joints, fibromyalgia, and God wants to heal you and touch your body right now. Put your hand on your elbow, your knee, whatever is really hurting you, and let's claim your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabasara Kabaredega Barasande. There is somebody right now that suffers from migraines, and you can be healed today because God wants to touch your body and your mind. He wants to touch your head. He wants to take away the migraine headaches that you suffer from. So put your hand on your head right now, whoever you are. There's more than one. I believe there's several. There's multiple people for the migraines. God wants to touch you and heal your body right now. Receive it by faith. Reach out and take it now. You're healing by faith. There's somebody right now with indigestion problems. You're just constantly having problems eating and you get sick. You get I won't even describe what you get, but you get all kinds of physical reactions when you eat, and it's not good, and it's very hard for you to eat, and you begin to lose weight. God wants to heal your stomach disorder, your bowel disorder, so put your hands on your stomach. Put your hands there and claim and believe right now in the name of Jesus that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the healer, he's the healer of your body. There are some of you that are so emotionally torn up right now that you need a touch from God, and you need to receive your healing emotionally. Reach out and take that right now by faith. Reach out and apply the blood of Jesus to your emotions and your mind and receive it right now by faith. All of you out there, whatever country, whatever state you live in, wherever you might be, there is no distance in prayer.
Amen.
God wants to heal you right now, emotionally, mentally, physically. Claim it right now in Jesus' name and watch yourself begin to just improve right away and get better and better. And as you start to improve, begin to give God all the praise and all the glory. If there's anybody out there right now that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, accept him now by faith. Simply declare with your mouth, Romans 10:9-10, declare with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he is your Savior, that you believe him, ask him to forgive you for all that you've ever said or done that was not pleasing to him, and receive by faith right now your salvation. Receive it by faith in Jesus' name and in the power of Almighty God. Romans 8:11, if that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will give life, that Zoe life, to your mortal body. And so claim that right now, that Zoe life, Romans 8:11. Claim that God kind of life to flow through you right now from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Never know what's going to happen on the air, do we, Pastor Jim?
Well, and just for our listeners who may not have been exposed to this before, what you were hearing was words of knowledge. God moves that way sometimes, giving us words of knowledge, just letting us know, I'm ready to heal, and these are the people that need healing,
right?
And I'm going to tell you about it. And that's what happened.
Amen.
And praise God for that.
Well, praise God. You can write us. Pastor Jim, you want to talk to Pastor Jim? He loves to get email.
I do love to get email. PastorJim@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com.
Yes. And mine is just Pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com because I had that before Pastor Jim joined us. So it's still just Pastor@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. We welcome you to go to our website, BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, find out all about us. Pastor Jim, some final thoughts here. What do you think? I mean, this has been a wild show. I love doing these with you. It's just amazing what God does.
I'm just almost like, woo, praise God. I love doing the radio show, and it's amazing because, you know, we can come in here and kind of have what we want to talk about.
Right.
And we did. We had the kind of the, we knew a starting point.
We knew a starting point.
But
we never got to that one place
right.
we were going.
But it always, well, you know, it just amazes me the way God.
Right.
Made, you know, takes what we think we're going to do and changes it. And but the anointing is here. And I just can't encourage our listeners enough. Don't be afraid of God's word.
Right.
Read Ephesians, incorporate those blessings, appropriate them for yourself, and know that you're loved by God. You're his artwork.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And even though you may be different than the average bird around you, that's okay.
Amen.
Celebrate that difference. Celebrate who you are in God.
Right.
And be open to the things of God, like what just now happened, the prayer for people and the word of knowledge. Be open. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we welcome you to Beacon of Hope.
Oh,
we are very eclectic. We are a variety, a diverse group of people, and we come in all shapes and sizes and colors and everything else. But I'll tell you what, we are a people that love the Lord with all our hearts.
Amen.
And we are a people that love to celebrate his presence.
Yes.
And we love to worship and praise. And we love the word. We're a people that just love the word. I just love it. The people get it. They're attentive to the word. When you or me are teaching or preaching, they're attentive to the word. They want to hear the word. And then there's always ministry for people if they have needs.
Right.
And God is just doing so much. We just thank him every day.
Amen. And this morning's service was just incredible. I mean, you know, we started in the praise and worship, and then in the middle of the praise and worship, we listened to God and had the breakthrough.
Yes, we had the breakthrough.
That's when God gave me that scripture out of Isaiah 66.
Right then during the breakthrough. Praise God.
And that's, you know, praise God. And then we did some more singing, had the sermon, did communion, but we still offered the opportunity.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes it's going to be completely different.
Right.
Sometimes it's just so amazing to see God work, the diversity of the ways God works in the church.
It's just wonderful. God gets all the glory and the praise.
Amen.
We have a prayer line. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to use that prayer line. That's what it's all about. Worldwide prayer line. It's prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. And that's all you have to write and just say what your need is. And it will be responded to. A prayer will be written and sent out to our big prayer team. If you want to be a part of that prayer team, write a note to prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com and say, add me to the prayer team. Wow, it's been a wonderful time. It's not far to Jesus. We have used that theme since we started here, the end. It's not far to Jesus. He's always here to hear our prayer and to meet our needs. God is just that. This has been a wonderful show. If you missed part of it, go to our website. Usually they're back on our website by Monday evening or so. Bill sends them to us.
They're on your back.
All right, there you go. All right, so God bless each of you, Pastor Marcia McAllister, Pastor Jim Ellsbury, BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com, and find out all there is to find out, and come and visit us Sunday at 10, Wednesday at 7. Have a great week. If you have a need, write us prayers@BeaconOfHopeMinistries.com. It's not far to Jesus. Have a great week. Have a great week.
It's not far.